Today I want to talk about our God. Our wonderful, amazing, awesome, great, big God. In times like this, where the world feels like it's in such turmoil, it's very easy to get our eyes focused on the problems. And when we do that, we tend to take our eyes off God. You see, you can't look at two different things at once that are in different directions. When we look at the world, we aren't looking at God. And when we do that, what we do is we forget how wonderful, how amazing, and what a great big God he is. This morning, I want to turn our eyes on him and how wonderful and amazing he is. Exodus 15:11 says, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders?" See, we do not worship and serve someone who has boundaries, but we serve a limitless, majestic God. In the book of Revelation, we are given a wonderful picture of the throne room of God. And this is one of my favourite passages in Scripture, where the 24 elders and the living creatures are just lost in adoration and worship of God. And day and night, they continue to worship him. I'm going to read Revelation 4, verses 8 to 11. It says this, "And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night, they never cease to say, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, and is to come.'" And whenever the living creatures give glory and honour and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." See, this is a picture that we're given of the worship that takes place at the throne, where there's a continual realisation of how amazing God is. And these worshippers will never cease worshipping, because every time they look at him and they look at his gloriousness, they see something wonderful, something mighty, and all they can do is give him glory. And it never gets old, because there's always new depths to the wonder of God. You see, worship isn't about singing the right song, but seeing the glory of God and responding to how amazing he is. The great preacher, Ravi Zacharias, who went to be with the Lord just a few short weeks ago, he had a tremendous impact on me when I was a new Christian. And I remember hearing him say something that stuck with me all these years. He says, he describes worshipping God, and he says, God is like a perpetual novelty. In other words, God is so great, so huge, that worshipping him can never become tiresome, because there's always a new revelation of who he is to delight us and to intrigue us. But here's the problem we get into. We build ourselves into patterns of worship. We build our worship life sometimes into such a routine that we make it a chore. Not because God's less amazing, but because we've stopped looking. So I'd like to just, before we get into it too far, is look at some things, two things, that can take our focus off how wonderful God is. First thing is looking at the wrong thing. Psalm 19 verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork." It should point us to God, creation, the heavens. All of creation should be pointing to Him. And when we look at creation, we should be looking at it in awestruck wonder of who He is. But here's what can happen. That instead of looking to the Creator who made them, we end up getting awestruck by the thing He's made. We can start to look at the stars and think, wow, the stars are amazing. They make me feel so small. When instead, looking at the stars should be, wow, God is amazing. And we end up giving the awe to the object instead of Him. We can be looking in the right direction, but looking at the wrong thing. And what happens is that diminishes the sense of awe we have in God. Let me give you just a sort of an example of how that can work. Once upon a time, if you were in front of a beautiful building or on top of a huge canyon, or standing in front of a beautiful palm tree, you'd see it and you'd take a photograph of it because you'd want to remember that you saw it. You'd want to see it again. You'd want to remember that feeling you had when you looked at it. That's changed a bit in recent years because now you'll be holding the camera the other way as you take a selfie of yourself in front of this beautiful building or canyon or amazing palm tree. Because not only do you want to remember it, you want people to know you were there. It used to be that a picture or a video from the top of a high building would be focused on the depth of the view in front of you. But now a video from that high doesn't seem to exist without somebody doing a handstand in front of that tall building, or on top of that tall building. You see, the picture's largely the same. The subject, the focal point, has changed. Same direction, but focused on the wrong thing. And what happens is we can do a similar thing with nature and God. Instead of looking beyond it to Him, actually it takes our focus. You see, the heavens should be declaring His glory. Another thing that can damage this sense of awe we have in God is living a life where we have no fresh revelation of Him. When we stop spending time with God, when we stop reading His word, when we stop seeking His presence and spending quality time with Him, without this continual revelation, then a deadness will start to occur. A dryness will start to occur. Passion turns into ritual. See, these four living creatures, it is continual revelation of who He is that keeps them cemented in this place of awe. Because let me tell you, you can spend your entire life getting closer to God every day, finding out something new about Him every day, and He's never going to run dry. The trouble is when we stop looking, we stop seeing. When we're not around Him, when we're not allowing Him to speak into our lives, when we allow distance to get between us and God, we stop seeing how amazing He is. When we allow sin in, and sin causes that distance, we don't get fresh revelation. Because fresh revelation is going to bring with it challenge and conviction. And as a result, awe, and therefore worship, becomes diminished. Albert Einstein once said this: "The most beautiful thing we can experience is the mysterious. It is the source of all true art and all science. He to whom this emotion is a stranger, who can no longer pause to wonder and stand wrapped in awe, is as good as dead. His eyes are closed." See, our awe of God, even the fear of God, the healthy fear of God, this sense of trembling before Him is intertwined with this sense of the mystery of God. See, He is so great. He is so mighty. He is so big. He is a mystery. And if we can't approach him with that sense of mystery and awe, our eyes are closed. Do you know how great your God is? Isaiah 40:26, it says, "Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number," talking about the stars here, "calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing." See, he knows, it says, each and every star in the sky. He calls them by name. There's so many of them, yet he knows them. He names them. Did you know the same applies to you? Psalm 139, verse 2, it says, "You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar." He is bigger than the stars, but he knows your every thought. He knows you so deeply that he knows you to the cellular level. Each piece of DNA in your body, he wrote. And you know, he doesn't just know us dispassionately. We're not just numbers to God. Luke 12:7 says, "Why, even the hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not. You are of more value than many sparrows." Jesus referring there, he said, there's not a sparrow in the world that falls to the ground that God doesn't know about. And how much more valued are you? We are valued by this amazing creator. We are loved by the one who names the stars. We are precious to him, not because of our merit, but because of his amazing love. And if you've lost that sense, if you've lost that sense of trembling in awe before him, we need to reclaim it. We need to get back in that place. Maybe you're watching this morning and actually you've never had that. You've never seen how amazing he is. What can be done? Well, there's a few things we can do. Number one is remember that God is creator. So if you want to be impressed, look at what he's made. Everything we can see, touch, taste, or experience, he made it. He is the creator of all things. He is not a little God. God is so huge that we cannot comprehend his hugeness. The Bible says that we're made in his image, but that does not mean that he is like us. Now, there's a resemblance, yes, in the same way that a tray of sand in some way resembles a desert. But in no way is the desert anything like a tray of sand. A tiny grain of sand can never comprehend the desert that it's in, because the desert is something much more than that grain of sand. Well, the difference between the grain of sand and the desert, let me tell you, the difference between you and God is greater. Isaiah 40:12 says, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and marked off the heavens with a span, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance." The largest oceans in the world, the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, the Indian Ocean, the Arctic Ocean, the Antarctic Ocean, the Mediterranean Sea, all of those things are nothing but a handful of water in the hollow of his hand. And the hollow is just a little bit there. Okay, let's go for a moment really big. What would it look like, do you think, if you tried to build a scale model of the universe? The visible sun, our sun, has a diameter of 864,000 miles. That's more than 750,000 miles in diameter. So if we want to build a model universe, we have to reduce the size of the sun to make that more manageable. So let's take the sun right down to the size of a sphere, 1 millimeter in diameter. That's around about the size of a grain of salt, maybe like rock salt. On this scale, Earth would be as large as a single grain of talcum powder. That's 10 microns. And it would be 4.3 inches away from the sun. Okay, that seems manageable. But on the same scale, Proxima Centauri, which is our closest star, would be 17 miles away. If you had a sphere, a radius of 17 miles around that grain of salt, there'd only be one star in that sphere. All the other remaining stars of the galaxy would be outside it. The Milky Way would have a scale diameter of 425,000 miles. In other words, twice the distance from the Earth to the Moon on that scale. Let me tell you, the universe is huge. But here's the amazing thing. The Bible tells us that God measures the diameter of the universe with the span of his fingers. Psalm 33 verses 6 to 9 says, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all of their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm." It is estimated that in the known universe, there is 5 sextillion stars. That's a big number. It is 5 with 21 zeros after it. Now, I didn't count them. That's what I got from NASA's website. John 1:3 says, "All things were made through him, and without him there is not anything that was made." So every single one of those 5 sextillion stars, he made them. And as we read in Isaiah, not only did he make them, he knows their names. Okay, that's big. Let's go small. If you took a tiny cube of water, about that big. Is that an inch? About an inch. 1 inch cube of water. That contains 600 sextillion molecules. That is a 6 with 23 zeros after it. 1 inch cubed of water. Isn't it amazing to think? A 1 inch cube of water contains 120 more times more molecules than stars in the observable universe. For some reason, that fact was also on NASA's website. In 1 inch cube of water, how many molecules are in the River Tees? How many in the sea? How many in the Atlantic Ocean? And every single molecule he made, and he commanded, and they stood firm. In other words, he holds them together. Right now, he is the one that binds those molecules into what we call water. Everything's made of molecules. Everything. And each of it is arranged in such a way to make what it makes, and held together in such a way to make what it makes. And they are bound together. by our God. There are around about 37 trillion cells in the average human body. I think I carry most of those in my stomach. All of them are constantly living and constantly getting replaced. Some every few weeks, some every few months. As we read in John 1:3, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing made was made. In other words, every cell he gave life to. Every cell in your body that replaces an old one does not exist unless he makes it. Every generating cell is an act of creation. You see, seeing God as your creator is about more than just what happened at the dawn of time. If your only concept of him as creator is that, you'll feel distant from it because it happened before you were born. And distance robs awe. But creation is about more than what happened in the past. It happens every single day. Even in your own body, there is a constant act of creation occurring. And our God is so huge and so mighty, he is managing all of it. If awe is lacking, look at creation. Not just creation itself, but meditate on the God who didn't just make it all, but holds it all together every second of every day. Some scientists have observed this. The largest thing that you can measure in the universe is the universe. The smallest unit of measurement that they've come up with as scientists is called the Planck length. It's the smallest possible sized unit of measurement. And guess what's round about in the middle of those two things? You are. I am. We are. We are about at the halfway point when it comes to those two sizes of things. Now, I think that's actually just a theory because I don't know how you get a tape measure long enough to measure that. But even so, in that theory, God has placed us and this world we see right at the centre of his creation. Maybe not physically, but in terms of scale. And God can hold the biggest, but he can see and control and manage the smallest. He knows all of it. Do you understand why healing is not hard for God? Because he's already creating us new every day. The act of creation every day is happening. What troubles do you have in your life right now? I can tell you this. God is bigger. What is it you're fighting against right now? I can tell you this. God is bigger. What have you done wrong in your life? I'll tell you this. God is bigger. So looking at God as creator is a great way of putting that awe on us. But more than that, we also need to just stop sometimes and look at him. Job 37:14 says, "Hear this, O Job, stop and consider the wondrous works of God." Listen, you're busy. I get it. Although during this pandemic, that has changed for some, and for others, it's had the complete opposite effect. I can never think of a time I've ever been busier. But still, if the wonder has gone, do this. Stop. Stop and spend time considering the wondrous works of God. Because we can crowd him out even when we're doing nothing. We can get distracted. We can forget. And we can make ourselves so busy. Stop and consider his wondrous works. Stop and spend time with him. Get away from the hustle and the bustle of life. Seek times of solitude with God. I mean, at the moment, God has given us an intense amount of time to be able to do this. But yet, we can still go through our days, filling every moment and not doing it. Realize how big, how great he really is, because if you don't tremble at the thought of his awesomeness, your image of God is too small. Be intentional. Put aside time where you're focused on him and nothing else. Make that time a holy time. If awe is lacking in your life, stop. Take time. Focus on God. Another important thing to do is remember that God is judge. One day we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He reigns, he rules, and he judges. If awe is lacking, think of that day, standing before his judgment seat, because I tell you, the excuses for treating him casually that might work here, it won't work there. Recognize, though, also, he's judge. He is also saviour. He is the creator, powerful and mighty. He is judge, firm and just. But he is your saviour, merciful and full of grace. Charles Spurgeon put it like this. Who can be astonished at anything when he has once been astonished at the manger and the cross? What is there wonderful left after one has seen the Saviour? How can we not be in awe when we consider the cross, when we consider that God, our gladly burden, sent him to die? I scarce can take it in. How can we not be in awe when we consider God, God in a manger? The creator, the ruler, the judge of everything, willingly came to live like one of us. He who holds the stars in the sky became a collection of cells that over 9 months developed into a little baby. He was born helpless, totally reliant on his parents, just like us. Born in poverty, like so many in the world. The Word of God himself had to learn how to speak. The ruler of creation had to learn how to walk. The holy, perfect one had to face temptation. The creator of every tree was nailed to a piece of wood. The one who created metal and put it in the earth had his hands and his feet pierced with nails. Willingly, asking God to forgive those who were doing it. And he did it for you. And he did it for me. How can there be anything more astonishing than Jesus? Than the cross and the manger? If awe is lacking in your life, think about what your Saviour did for you. See, a sense of awe and a sense of realizing what a great big God he is doesn't just happen. What we can do, though, is put ourselves in a place where we can open ourselves up to those feelings of awe when it comes to God. We can focus on the right things. We allow ourselves to get the right perspective. If we meditate on his word, if we take time to stop and think of God as creator, judge, and saviour, we can allow ourselves to be astonished again. Because when we truly look at him, how can we not say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. See, we serve a God who is not just holy. He is holy, holy, holy. He is so far above all of creation that we can never fully get our heads around it. That's the God we worship. And yes, he's totally concerned with the small things. He can reach out and put his arms around us. He is our closest friend. But don't let that lose the perspective for you of how great and how awesome and how big he is. Maybe you're watching today and you've never met this awesome God. You've seen the wonders he's created, you've been impressed by them, but you've never linked them to him. Stop. Look at everything around you. This is either accident or intention. And when I look at the wonder and the complexity of creation, how even just on this earth, everything is exactly as it needs to be to sustain life, I cannot believe this is accidental. This world is created. We are created, and the one who created us is holding us together right now. He knows you. He knows the hairs on your head, the cells in your body, the stars in the sky. He knows you. He loves you. He died on a cross for you. When this world feels like it's against you, when problems seem huge, it's because we're seeing them from our perspective and not from his. This God wants a relationship with you. He wants to guide you. He wants to lead you in the best way of life. And when you follow him, I tell you, you are walking with someone who is greater than every mistake you've ever made. This great big God cares about little you. Which is another way in which he is absolutely amazing. I wonder today, will you come to him? Will you let him lead your life? Because believe me, he knows what's better for us than we do. Put your life in his hands. Trust him. Turn to him. And your life will be filled with awe for our great big God. God bless you.